Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Open Talk Radio, 313 The Flash.
We are Kayfabe, the people's band. We are the only sports entertainment cover band. We are going to play all of your favorite wrestling theme songs from the golden ages of the 1980s all the way up to today. From all or as many wrestling promotions that you love near and dear, from the NWA days, the WCW, to the WWF, or of course we know today is WWE, Ring of Honor, or New Japan, they got some theme songs out there. We will be playing them. And there will be some songs that we're going to cover that may not necessarily be wrestling theme songs, but they may have been songs that wrestlers have used in the past. Like, for example, the late, great Junkyard Dog, Hall of Famer. Back in the day, in the early 80s, he used to come out to a very popular song by the rock group Queen, another one, Bites the Dust. That's just one example. And we are going to be playing everywhere we possibly can. Birthday parties, corporate events, wrestling shows, Comic-Con. conventions. We may even do a few anime songs. So, you know, we're open to a variety of things, but our bread and butter is going to be wrestling. And we are Kayfabe, the people's band. We are the only sports entertainment cover band. We are going to play all of your favorite wrestling theme songs from the golden ages of the 1980s all the way up to today. From many wrestling promotions that you love near and dear, from the NWA days, the WCW, to the WWF, or of course we know today is WWE, Ring of Honor, or New Japan. They got some theme songs out there. We will be playing them. And there will be some songs that we're going to cover that may not necessarily be wrestling theme songs, but they may have been songs that wrestlers have used in the past. Like, for example, the late, great Junkyard Dog, Hall of Famer. Back in the day, in the early 80s, he used to come out to a very popular song by the rock group Queen, Another One Bites the Dust. That's just one example. And we are going to be playing everywhere we possibly can. Birthday parties, corporate events, wrestling shows, Comic Cons, anime conventions. We may even do a few anime songs, so, you know, we're open to a variety of things, but our bread and butter is going to be wrestling. And
What up, everybody? Welcome to Wrestle Talk in the D with Martez, Dominic, and Kayvon. We coming to you live right here on Open Talk 313, The Flash for now. Come November, we're going to be switching platforms. Open Talk 313, The Flash will be on our official website. So that's coming up in a few more months. In November, so can't wait for that. We've been thankful to have Blog Talk Radio for these last 4 years, but it is time for us to do things on our own. So Open Talk Radio will have its own website, that's going to be pretty much the only way you can listen to the shows when we are live on the website. But this is Russell talking to D. Of course, my name is Martez. I want to thank the good Lord above for giving us another opportunity to run our mouth about the things we like, don't like about wrestling. It's a lot to get into tonight, but before I bring the other guys onto the show, I just want to say, be careful not to wake up a sleeping giant. You know, be careful not to wake up a sleeping giant. And the reason I say be careful not to wake up a sleeping giant, because if you wake up a sleeping giant, that giant is going to come up probably angry, probably frustrated, probably looking to knock your head off. The reason I say don't wake up a sleeping giant is because it seems like we talk about this every week, but it seems like there's a lot of chatter from the All Elite Wrestling camp, and there's a lot of chatter from their fan base that they have dethroned WWE. But I need to stop you real quick and let you know that you're going to wake up a sleeping giant, and when that giant wakes up, excuse my language, all hell's going to break loose. Do not piss Vince McMahon off, okay? 75 and all, or 76 and all. Do not piss Vince McMahon off. Vince McMahon, he's one of the more creative minds in the world of wrestling, arguably the most creative person in the world of wrestling. Yeah, he's 75, and yeah, he hasn't been giving you the best stories over the last 10 years or whatever, but maybe he has a reason now to give us great content because he has competition. But I do want to tell the fan base of AEW, be careful, because WWE has squashed people before. They have squashed promotions before, and I think they can do it again. All right, that's my little 2 cents for tonight. This is Russell talking to D, as I stated earlier, Martez, Dominic, Kayvon, is in the house. I'm going to bring the two gentlemen on now. Dominic, what up again, brother?
What's going on, Ross Talk Nation? It is me, the D-O-double-G. Dominic is in the house.
In the house. So you got rid of the Daddy's Home opening, huh?
I don't know. I like to switch it up. I like to pay homage.
Okay.
Catchphrases. That's some phrases.
That's one of the best catchphrases out there, though, ever, you know. That catchphrase you just said, like, that's like a classic catchphrase.
Man, if you was part of the Attitude Era, you had an offend of D-Generation X, each one of those members, man, like, especially when the New Age Outlaw came out, when you heard that, oh, you didn't know?
Yep.
You just had to go word for word.
Yes. And Dominic, we're going to bring on the former neighbor, Kayvon, in a second, the big dog, Tribal Chief. But, like, if we go back, that was, like, for me, that's the golden age of wrestling, man. Like, the golden age, because everything they threw out just stick, man. Like, everything WWE, even WCW, like, both of them were kicking on all cylinders, clicking on all cylinders at one point. You know, obviously, WCW, they got were brought by WWE. But, yeah, that was a heck of a time to be a wrestling fan. And I think we get ready to jump right back into that with WWE and AEW. Let's bring in the former neighbor, Kayvon. What's up, homie?
What is up? The Tribal Chief, the big dog, the former neighbor is back, and so is the Big 4+1. Listen, I'm excited on tonight. I am excited on tonight.
Wow. What's got you excited tonight, Kayvon? If you just give us a little bit of a preview. Give us a preview of what got you excited tonight.
Well, I don't like to spoil anything, so I'm not going to tell y'all. I like to tease y'all. I'm not going to tell y'all until the Big 4+1 come up, and y'all will see why I'm excited.
So you don't kiss and tell.
I can't say nothing right now.
You don't kiss and tell?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
You do or you don't?
You said what?
You do or you don't?
Yeah. What? Well, I didn't catch that. You might have to repeat yourself again with what I do and I don't. What I do and I don't what?
I was just messing with you, Kayvon.
Do you kiss and tell?
I'm not kissing. And, you know, I ain't kissing nothing. You know, I'm just teasing. That's it. Just teasing. You know, that's it.
I get what you said. We don't kiss. How about this? We don't kiss and tell on Russell Talking to D. We don't kiss and tell. All right. This is Russell Talk and Indeed. Have I said that about five? I said it about 500 times so far. This is why you guys are important, because I don't talk long, you know, and I get in a situation where I just say the same thing over and over again. So thank the Lord for you all. All right, this is Russell Talking to D, and this is – let's go to Kayvon's The Big 4+1.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to another edition. Listen, if y'all seen Extreme Rules, the first person up on my list is Roman Reigns. Ladies and gentlemen, Roman Reigns did the unthinkable. He beat the Demon King. He beat the undefeated Finn Balor, which, in my book, that's crazy. But that's also a good thing. And the next person up, well, ladies and gentlemen, he's a man of few words. Dexter Lumis, who I'm pretty sure we all seen the wedding. He spoke and said the words, "I do." So that was a big step. Next up, we have Naomi. Well, Naomi is serious right now. she's been put out for now, but you know, we shall wait and see what will happen with her. Her and Sonya, babe, I can't wait to see that matchup if it happens. Then we have Karrion Kross. He's very serious right now, and let's just say he's going to tear up the division. Wonder who he is going to strike next. Then we have, I believe this is Martel's favorite group of all time, especially since we all seen them on Monday Night Raw, the Hurt Business. That's right, the Hurt Business. We're wondering if they are back together, but it seems like they are. Ladies and gentlemen, that has been the Big Four plus one. Tune in next week to find out something else.
K-Von, Mr. The Energizer Bunny, K-Von, with the Big Four plus one. That was an excellent Big Four plus one. K-Von, it's so much to get into tonight, gentlemen. We got a caller on the line, which we'll bring on shortly, and brother Antoine or Coco, I don't know who's calling tonight, but we'll pick up his call in a moment. There's so much we can dive into, as they say in the world of radio, dive into. We can talk about the whole Naomi situation. We can start off with the demon losing to Roman Reigns, which I was not excited about. I'm not happy about that. Or we can talk about the Hurt Business returning. What do you guys want to jump into so far?
Well, as a tribal chief, I want to jump into Roman, but that's just me.
Let's start there then. Let's start there. For me, you know, before this match was even made, we were talking about this a few weeks ago, and we had some disagreements about this. You know, I didn't think it was a good idea to put the Demon King in a situation where the Demon King can lose, because the Demon King is supposed to be this force that's unbeatable, okay? The Demon King is supposed to be this force that Finn Balor will summon whenever he can't get the job done. And I still wish they didn't put the Demon in that situation for him to lose, because you want, at this point, I mean, at this juncture in WWE, that's the only supernatural being that they have, with being that Bray Wyatt is not around anymore. We don't know if he's coming back or whatever, but he's not around, you know. So I didn't understand why I put him in that matchup for him to lose. So now the Demon is gone. There's no use for him anymore unless they come with the whole, like, a super, super demon kind of gimmick. I don't know. They're going to have to do something if they want to bring the Demon back. But that's my little 2 cents. K-Von, Dominic, the floor is yours. Yeah.
Go ahead, Dom. Go ahead.
I really don't have nothing much to say about this in particular segment. Yeah, you wanted, I mean, pretty much you answered it. You wanted it to not so early bring out the demon Balor, if you know it's going to be a situation that he was going to win. I know for sure that K-Von's tribal chief Roman was going to win. So, but hey, everybody got to suffer defeat at one point. So, this is the ballot time. The Demon Balor. Mm.
Well, what more can I say? Let's just say, you know, take nothing away from the Demon. Take nothing away from the Demon King, Finn Balor. He performed well. He tapped into the deepest part. You know, we all heard his theme music play during the match, and that has never happened until now. And, well, he was kicking butt as usual, but once he got on that top rope, some might say God helped Roman. Some might say Roman Reigns was praying. And well, the only thing I got to say is the people that built the ring didn't quite do their job right with that top rope. So, Demon, I'm sorry. You fell to your fate, got hit with a spear, and that was it. Roman Reigns is now undefeated. He has conquered the Demon, and now it's the Beast. Now it's Brock Lesnar's time. Will God be on Roman Reigns' side? Well, I guess he will, because Brock Lesnar is going to be defeated if Roman Reigns can tap into his demon form. No pun intended.
Wow. That's, and in regards to Roman Reigns, what more can I? What more can we say about Roman? He's been absolutely dominant. Like, they are booking this guy to be a unbeatable force. You know, like, Roman is super unbeatable. But before we before I finish, I want to get to brother Coco or Antoine. He has a he's going to join us for a short moment. What's up, brother?
What's happening, baby? This is the Black Man Coco T. Ware, founder and leader of Kayfabe, the People's Band. What's happening, Brother Montez? Good Brother K-Von. Is Good Brother Dime on the line, too? Hello to him as well. Now, listen, fellas, I can't stay on long because the Black Man has to work tomorrow, and I got to get my beauty rest. But I just got to say, and I want to get on this horn loud and clear. I'm just going to say it right now. The Hurt Business is back, baby, and I'm way too happy. I'm happier than a clam swimming in the sea. You feel what I'm saying? And then secondly, I'm getting sick and tired of that dastardly, no-good tribal chief. Sorry, Good Brother K-Von, but he keeps taking all these wins from everybody by the skin of his teeth. I done had enough. Somebody gonna get him. He gonna get his one of these old days. And then last but not least, on a side note, maybe it's not significant right now, maybe everybody's not crazy about him, but I'm just gonna say it right here now. I personally believe that Mace and Brother T-Bar, I believe that they are the new age, modern day, Powers of Pain, baby. Take that to the bank. If they book them like that, they're going to be awesome. I promise you. And with that being said, y'all have a wonderful night. God bless you.
Hey, thank you, Coco. We appreciate that strong take, man. You brought up some good points. We appreciate it.
You know it.
Hey, get some rest, man, and then join us next week if you got time.
Yes, will do. Will do.
All right, brother. Hey, Coco brought up some good points. He brought up some good points, especially with the Hurt Business coming back. And man, I was so happy to see that because the Hurt Business is I felt like the Hurt Business was one of the best things about WWE during the pandemic era. You know, so it was like frustrating when they let them go, when they broke them up during WrestleMania season. I didn't understand it. I don't know why they did it. But I'm happy they back. Hopefully they stay together for a long time. What say you all? What do you all think about the Hurt Business making it back?
I love it that they're back. But I need new members. I need new blood.
Ooh.
This is Fantasy Dime talking.
Oh, okay.
Uh-huh. I love it, man. They brought back one of the hottest stables in wrestling. Not just WWE, in wrestling right now.
Uh-huh.
The Hurt Business.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not a big fan of one in particular person. I mean, it's another one. Shelton Benjamin, the OG. Yeah, but Cedric Alexander doesn't do nothing for me, guys.
Why is
like,
that?
Yeah. he just don't fit the mold. He just is a distraction. He was the reason why they broke up. And not listening to communication and instruction was the reason why they had dysfunction in the hurt business.
Hmm.
He may be back for a few appearances, but I feel like this is, once again, this is the Thoughts of Fantasy Bound talking. It's two other guys on Raw that look like they can really put the beat down. What's really the name of that to say the words and impact the beat down. But, hey, that's another subject. Put the hurt. I'm talking about Omos and Keith Lee.
Ooh.
If you got them joining forces with Bobby, the almighty, mighty Bobby Lashley, and once the MVP come back and let them do be the brains and the mouthpiece.
Right. I wouldn't mind seeing Keith Lee in it, but Omos, I just don't think he'll look right in that group because he's so tall and
he the muscle, he the back. He's a bodyguard.
Okay. Yeah, but they already got Bobby, even though Bobby's the leader.
He's Bill Forster.
Man.
If Bobby's if MVP's the chairman, and Bobby's the CEO, he can be the director of operations.
And Keith Lee can hold his own. Like Keith Lee, the dude can hold his own.
I'm happy my mistake with the new nickname, the Bearcat.
People are mad about that nickname, man. Like people are throwing a hissy fit about him being called the Bearcat.
which I meant to do my research on, paying homage to that name.
Yeah.
It was a black wrestler back in the segregation who had that wrestler name, Bearcat, who really fought for the separation and for the movements. A black wrestler to work with. Or somebody of a different color. So y'all can be mad all y'all want, but the brother paying homage with that name. Once I heard that.
Yeah. I know you want to jump in real quick. And we do have a caller that's called in. We'll go to that caller. But I think if people do more research on why Keith Lee is named the Bearcat, then I think it'll probably go over well with the majority of WWE fans. If they did their research, because I didn't do my research on it, but I'm not the type that's going to throw a hissy fit just because they did something I don't like. You know, I just ran with it, you know, but I didn't know that was the history behind that, but that's definitely remarkable that they're doing that. Kayvon, what say you, man?
Well, with the Hurt Business, although I was not a big fan, no shade, I'm just saying, I wasn't a big fan. But now, since they're back together, they all right. They are an okay faction to me. With Keith Lee, I like his other nickname, the Limitless One. This one, I'm not too sure about. His finisher, you know, he got a nice finisher. It kind of reminds me of the Jackhammer, but I ain't going to say nothing about that. He needs to talk to Goldberg about that one. So that's all my takes on Keith Lee and the Hurt Business.
Hey Kayvon, I'm gonna have to give you a come on, man, for not being super excited about the Hurt Business, man.
Come on, man.
Even if you don't like them, Kayvon, you got to fake like you like them, man. Come on, man. But seriously, I get what you're saying, Kayvon. Let us go to the phone line. I don't know who this is. This number looks familiar, but I could be wrong. I don't know if this caller was just trying to listen or if he wants to come on or if she wants to come on. But, caller, you're on Wrestle Talking to D with Martez, Dominic, and Kayvon.
What's up?
Hello?
Caller, are you there, caller?
Can you hear me?
Yeah. How you doing, man? Thanks for calling.
Yo, what's going on?
What's up, Dom?
What's up? Hey, ladies and gentlemen, this is a new member to the Wrestle Talk family. This is my man, Josh. J-Dog.
What's happening, y'all?
What's going on?
Not much. So about the Hurt Business getting back together, I think it's because the WWE is getting ready to do the Warfare game again, because with the draft right around the corner, I think they're going to call up Imperium and they're going to turn the new they're going to turn the Hurt Business into the faces, and they're going to go against Imperium. That's my take on the whole getting them back together thing.
Facts. That's another one. Facts.
And
oh, yeah,
with Keith Lee coming back as Bearcat, I think that was just a lack of the – I mean, I like the new gimmick. It's good. But I think that it's WWE's lack of commitment to sticking with one thing and going with it, because what he had in NXT – hands down was probably one of the best times that, you know, he had in the entire industry.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they just don't know what to do with him. So they figure give him a new gimmick, let him start smashing all the small guys, and then eventually they're going to turn him heel.
I agree. But Josh, right?
Yeah.
Why do you think they do that? Why do you think they call people up only to change them? Like, because if it ain't broke, you don't need to fix it. You know, why do they do that? Do you have an opinion or idea of why they do that? Because they've done that to several people, like Keith Lee.
Yeah, I think what happens is they kind of get lost in a mix because they have a certain mindset of what wrestlers they really want to push. So when they do call the other ones up, they just do it for to put more depth into the rosters. But once it happens and they get changed and everything like that, it's all in the minds of the producers and stuff of what they think is best for the wrestler, not what's best for the fan.
Yeah. Hey, I completely agree with that.
I look at it like this. I mean, let's take Karrion Kross for a minute. Okay, The dude was a monster in NXT, right?
Mm-hmm.
And when he came up to the main roster, his first match, he lost to Jeff Hardy. Okay, so they started to plant seeds of a feud with him, but yet now he's just smashing people left and right that are, you know, like C-plus players. They don't know what to do with certain people because Vince McMahon's head so far up his own ass that he's smelling what he had 3 weeks ago for dinner, because he's got this mindset, let's protect Roman, let's protect all the people that, I mean, let's face it, they tried to shove Roman Reigns down our throats for 4 years before the dude actually got any kind of fan base behind him to where it was legitimate.
Yeah. Wow. Mm-hmm. What you got to say about that, Kayvon?
Well, hey, he made me happy when he said with the Roman Reigns situation. He just made me happy right there, because it's true. Roman Reigns now has a huge fan base behind him. Then, you know, 4 years ago, you know, he had some fans, but it wasn't like it is now.
Yeah. The wrestling landscape right now is so open for people to just do whatever they want to do, but when it really comes down to it, are they doing what fans want? I mean, WWE, if you ask me, has failed in every aspect of other than protecting their key players. I don't think part-time players should come in and be able to be the champions or go immediately for championships. I mean, yeah, okay, you earned your stripes back in a day, but you want to sit at home 320 days out the week and then come to work, what, 4 days out the year? You want to come to work for 4 days out the year. So.
But I think, and I know, Dominic, you're going to jump in, but I think that it sounds crazy, and I get what you said, Josh, but I think it makes sense because the way WWE is thinking, is they think it from a business standpoint, names, who can draw. You know, say what you want about Goldberg, but he's a name, you know. So, and do I want to see him as champion? No, but I get why they would think about giving him the championship because he's a name. Even when The Rock came back a few years ago, he beat CM Punk, which I didn't like. But at the same time, I get it from a standpoint of The Rock is a draw. It's a name because WWE they don't just cater to their fan base. They try to cater to other people outside of wrestling. So I get it. I get what you're saying, but I also get it from their way of thinking from a business standpoint. Mm-hmm. And I know Dominic, you would get ready to say something.
No, I'm good. I'm pretty much like, yeah. Just a new member talking. I'm sit back and just I'm listening. I pretty much have nothing to say.
Okay. now, Josh, we're putting you on the spot tonight, man. We're putting you on the spot. Kate Vine is also here too. What do you think about the current state of the women's division in WWE, both Raw and SmackDown?
Okay, so Raw has more actual in-ring talent, but they don't use it. SmackDown has more entertainment talent, but they don't use it. So I think what they need to do is kind of switch it up, maybe take, you know, like, I would put Bayley back on Raw, just so then you got the rest of any entertainment. Because right now, when I'm watching the women's division on Raw, let's face it, you got Nia Jax who's out now because she's pregnant, so she's going to be out for at least 9 months.
Wow.
Then you got Shayna Baszler who legitimately she's pregnant. She'll be out for 9 months.
That ain't my baby.
Yeah. But,
I'm kind of jealous about that, though. I ain't gonna hold you up.
All right.
Russell Park, have a good night. Let me call Naya.
But you got Shayna Baszler, who hands down, there's not one woman in the WWE that can touch her because of her legitimate background. But they got her downplaying everything, and now she's finally becoming the person that Triple H saw in her, that, hey, you need to be that grappler, that, you know, full-around wrestler and technician. Good. But on the same hand, you don't want to build her up too much because if you build her up too much, then who's going to stop her? And then you're going to put someone, I don't know, someone like Dakota Kai over on Raw. And, yeah, she would be good on Raw, but let's face it. There's no one over there right now that can stand up to Shayna Baszler. And that's not right. Favoritism. That's just fact.
I mean, you want to say right now a Charlotte? That's right now got the juice.
I will say right now Charlotte probably is the best woman on Raw to be the champion because now that Alexa Bliss is about to be out for a couple months, it's kind of like who do you really have over there to put the championship on or even have her feud with? I like Rhea Ripley, but I don't like her as champion just yet. Like when she won it, I was like, she didn't really cut her teeth in on the main roster, long enough to even become champion. To me, I'm a person of you got to earn your stripes and work up to it, not just be thrown into it and say, hey, here you go. You're going to be champion for 5 months and then we're going to let the queen beat you.
Yeah. I mean, I thought it was just more of a payback that, you know, Charlotte took her NXT title, came down to her territory, her sanctuary, and so vice versa. When she got that call up, so she went to, she came on Charlotte's territory and took her title. I mean, I got it, but in the same way, Josh, I 1,000% agree with you as well that, yeah, it's all about, you know, paying your dues, you know, getting broken and paving the way. But, I mean, I kind of got it, but I wish they didn't take that title offer so soon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you also got to look at it like this. Out of all the times that Rhea Ripley and Charlotte Flair have wrestled, Rhea has not beaten her unless it was in a tag team match. She's never beaten her one-on-one.
Wow.
That's correct. That's correct.
So, I mean, I get it. You want the fan base. I mean, let's face it. Right now, the only thing really going for the WWE is the women's division, but even that's starting to lack. I mean, you got Becky Lynch just came back. Okay, we're going to let her beat Bianca Belair, which, again, I don't think Bianca Belair earned her stripes, but her being SmackDown champion, pound for pound, she's probably the best person over there to be the women's champion. But then you let Becky come back and beat her in such short fashion, and I'm like, that can't help but bring down the credibility of Bianca Belair. And then it's like, again, you're building up these people just to have your main marquee people come back and beat them. I mean, that to me, that's not earning your stripes. That's you being a patsy for the main roster people. And that's just not cool.
Yeah, I hear you.
Yeah. Kayvon, go ahead, man.
Oh, no, I was just agreeing with him. Go ahead.
Oh, real quick, yeah. I did not like Becky Lynch coming back. You know, I think it kind of put a damper on her return, her coming back and beating Bianca Belair, because I went from being excited about Becky Lynch coming back from being pissed off because she beat Bianca Belair. Not just beat her, but beat her in 26 seconds. I think they could have did it. They could have did some huge damage with that. You know, they could have bury Bianca that night, but Bianca, she's so strong, and she still has such a strong following that we not gonna let her get buried, so to speak. But that was a night where she could have got buried because WWE decided to put the belt on Becky Lynch, and I still disagree with that to this day. You know, I feel like if they wanted to give Becky the belt, they could have waited 4 weeks and did it at a pay-per-view and not do. I mean, did it at a different pay-per-view and not do it that night. So, I definitely didn't like that, you know. And I don't like Sasha Banks. I don't like the fact that she came back a couple nights ago to interfere in that match. I just didn't like that. So that's my little two cents on all that stuff.
And then real quick, I mean, I felt like Damon should have stayed on Raw.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, I made a surprise on Raw. I think Raw, it seems like it's more fitting for Bamon. Becky Lynch.
Yeah.
It is. This is Wrestle Talking to D Guys, and who's ever listening, you can always call in at 646-668-8672. We got a few more minutes left in this show. It's been a good show so far. We got a new caller, a new family member, Josh. He's been on the show for a few minutes now. He's been dropping nuggets like it's going out of style. I want to bring up this topic to the three of you all about the draft. And we can start with Dominic, and then we can go Josh and then Kayvon. Is the draft a joke? Okay. Do you think the WWE draft is a joke? Do you think it's Do you think it's something that they should keep around? How do you guys feel about the draft overall?
No, it is not a joke. I guess I got a 3-part sermon. It's not a joke, especially when go back to 2002 when when that you got the talent of AEW. I mean, WCW and ECW. It was to help get some of their stars over and get camera time and as well get their up and coming wrestlers, some camera time and experience. Now that at a point that we got AEW and with WWE is kind of, as you see, is behind and somewhat had all of these talents in these past years and let them go to waste, and somewhat it's a lot of matchups they can do and need fresh ideas and matches, as you see that some of their type wrestlers got to perform two nights or match that's the match ratings they have to go two times and different stipulations, maybe a cage match, maybe a 6-man tag. In the past, it was good. Now, I feel like now it's about time that they should try to go back to the old format, cut the draft out, cut the whole Raw and SmackDown brand, but they can keep both shows, but just cut down on the whole Universal title, the Raw SmackDown tag team titles, and reunite the wrestlers back as one.
Oh yeah, Josh, you want to take a stab at this?
All right, so I'm going to echo kind of what Don said. I will say the draft back in the day was definitely necessary because you had too many top brand people on one show at one time. So if you had all the great shows on Raw, then SmackDown was lacking. So I'll echo that. Back in the day, it was good. Nowadays, I think the draft is there on a sole purpose of if they have too many talents that they're not using. And when they do call them up, they're only calling them up to be mid-card players because let's face it, a lot of the people that are going to be called up, they're not going to let them. Gargano going against Roman Reigns, dead giveaway Roman Reigns wins. So they're just going to be calling people up to be mid-card level people. So then at the end of the day, they can say, okay, we got a full-stacked card, we got a little bit of everything for everybody. And at the end of the day, everyone's happy. I get that. But the draft, to answer your question, is it a joke right now? The last 2 years, 3 years maybe, every single time they had a draft, it was a joke. I mean, 1 year you had where Heath Slater didn't even get drafted, and all of a sudden he was a free agent. This ain't the NBA. Let's face it. You're all under one wrestling federation. So, yeah, there's no free agents. You're either Raw, SmackDown, or NXT. And now that Vince McMahon is running NXT, I'd be wanting to get out of there to Raw and SmackDown as fast as I can.
Uh-huh. Josh, you don't hold it back, man. You give it to us Raw, man. Go ahead, KVZ.
No, that's another nickname I can add. Let me see. I agree with both of them. The draft is not a joke, especially the way Raw is going. They need some more people on Raw. I'm sorry to say this live, but Raw sucks right now. It's all about SmackDown. I'm just saying, as of right now, Raw kind of on the back burner. It some people can still say the show like Reggie and the Hurt Business, as much as it's, I ain't going to talk about that. But, you know, some people can still save Raw if they get booked right. But right now, Raw is kind of slacking. It's slacking in the better words. So with the draft, I don't think it's a joke. You have some new faces on Raw. You have some new faces on SmackDown. And hopefully you have some new faces on NXT, although 2.0 is sort of kind of like a new show within itself. But, yeah, that's all I got to say but behind that.
Can I say one more thing?
Oh, yeah, go ahead.
All right, so I understand that the person I'm about to talk about for a second has some controversy, but let's face it. If they were to able to get Tessa Blanchard, hands down, would she be good on Raw or SmackDown if WWE got her? Because you got to admit, you cannot, like, knock her talent. Her as a person, she's a jackass. But, I mean, her talent is top grade.
I would say Raw. I would say Raw. And, like, if you ever heard me, Josh, I would want her to as powerful and powerful her talent and her drive and her goals is matched up to a similar person who got wrestling and their family, and that's Charlotte. I want to see them get power start the Poor Horseman female stable. Her and Charlotte oh my God.
Yep.
That's the Charlotte I want to see.
And I think
one last question.
Go ahead, Josh. Go ahead.
Who in the WWE is the most useless talent they have?
Oh,
I want to say Drake Maverick for me.
No.
No.
And maybe Tozawa, if I'm saying it right. But I'm done. I'm done.
Yes, as Kira Tozawa, I will say that.
I'm about to blow you guys' mind.
Yeah.
They brought this person back on a pure merit of looks, not talent. And to me, it's setting a precedent of they're trying to go back to certain ways, and this is Vince McMahon's thinking. The most useless talent in the WWE right now is Eva Marie.
Oh, yeah, we know that. We talked about that one. Yeah, that's the number one on the survey for it.
And I like Eva. I like Eva, but gosh,
what do you like about her?
Because she draws heat. She draws heat, and I like anybody that draws heat, man.
Because her red lipstick.
That too.
Oh,
I will agree. She does draw heat, and that's a good thing. But does she draw enough heat to be under contract with WWE?
Right.
Yeah. I think so, yes. Because WWE is about entertainment. It's about entertainment, not so much. Well, it's about wrestling, too, but it's about entertainment. And she provides a certain level of entertainment, whether she can go in a ring or not. She, like, for example, look what the fans did Monday night. You know, those fans, when Shayna Baszler did what she did to Eva Marie, the fans said, One more time. Because whether you want to say it or not, she's box office, you know. she gets the attention of the fans. Whether it's good or bad, she gets the attention.
No.
Let me say it like
this. To shut her up.
You actually.
To take her out.
You.
That's why they were saying one more time so Shayna could get the job done. But then.
I know that, but. The fact that she can draw that much emotion, that much I don't know if it was fake frustration or real frustration. The fact that she can draw that from the fans, she's doing her job. She's doing her job. And I will always stick behind her. Go ahead, Josh.
I'll say it like this. In a way, you have changed my mind. As a wrestler, no. As an entertainer and a manager, almost definitely.
Yeah, okay, okay.
You know, because at the end of the day, you're right. I mean, it's about how you can get the fans to emote their emotions, whether it be good or bad. And she does draw good heat, but they need to keep her out of the wrestling ring as a wrestler and make her straight up as a manager. Because she's, in that aspect, she's good because, you know.
So she can get that proper training.
I mean, you know what? I actually think she can actually go, because I've seen, like, before she came back to WWE, and before I finish saying this, all in all, I agree with what you guys are saying. She is useless. I'm gonna keep it real, but I just think she's entertaining. But like, I was watching some of her videos before she signed back with WWE, and it seemed like she can really go. Maybe they're holding her back. Like, maybe at some point they're going to unleash her, and we're going to see the skills that she actually has. Because she can go. I have seen videos of her going and training against men and looking pretty good at it, you know. That's why I was excited about her coming back, because I thought they was going to actually let her wrestle this time around. So I think they may be holding back.
What are you talking about?
No, he's right. Because when she was training with Brian Kendrick, she was picking up some good stuff, but her timing was off, and she did practice, because I watched some of her videos too. She has practiced. She has gotten better with her timing. But to me, I will say, okay, yeah, they're probably holding her back, so maybe that's why I'm saying she's useless. But on the same hand, you got to look at it like this. If she's going against, I don't know, Naomi, if she's going against Shayna Baszler, Nia Jax, I mean, anybody, to be honest, I think the only person she actually might be able to, like, be on par at WWE right now would probably be Nikki Ash.
Because okay.
Nikki Ash is also a bit slow on her timing sometimes, too.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. You know, but I would agree. I mean, for entertainment, yeah, she, I mean, yeah. But if they are holding her back, then they need to stop doing that, because they're only hurting her in the long run.
Yep.
Yeah.
Oh, all right, gentlemen, we got about 90 seconds to go. Any final thoughts? I'm going to pass the ball around. We're going to start with Dominic, and then Kayvon, and then Josh. If you guys have any final thoughts before we wrap up for tonight. Dominic, you got the ball.
My final thought is, after watching NXT, man, my favorite right now, female stable, Toxic. God. Beautiful Creation, Mandy Rose,
mm-hmm.
and the other two, are so phenomenal tonight. They are, I mean, man, they are. Now at NXT. Take the one who closed the show. Man, I mean, I thought they had the Gigi Dolan and Jaden had the female tag team titles, but somehow just that veteran mind frame of Zoe Zarch kind of came into play, and her and what's her name? They got, you know, start clicking and got on the same page and took over the match. But I thought they had it. I'm loving the attitude, the bad girl, you know, demeanor, and just the scrappiness of them. Man, they
They're hot.
Wow. Enough said right there. Josh, you got any final thoughts, man?
I say in the draft, Io Shirai to Raw, hands down, best way to go.
Ooh.
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 Well, we'll see. Mr. Tribal Chief, yeah. Kayvon, you got any final thoughts?
Of course, tune in next week. I might break the ice into telling everybody why AEW is not for me. Like I said, that's for next week. A little tease right there. Hopefully Roman Reigns keeps the belt on him, which I believe he will until he meets his cousin The Rock. But other than that, keep your eyes out on the draft. You could see something you like, and who knows? Maybe this show might do another draft, and I might be drafting some people that Facebook, you know, recommends. Maybe, maybe not. That's it, folks.
Oh, all right. I want to thank everybody that participated in this show tonight. I want to thank caller Coco for calling in, giving us his take on the Hurt Business and Roman Reigns and things of that nature. I want to thank Dominic, who is the co-host of all co-hosts, been doing this with him for about 3-4 years. I want to thank him. I want to thank Kayvon, the former neighbor who's been lighting up Wrestle Talking to D, who has energized Wrestle Talking to D. I want to thank him. And we want to thank Josh, a new caller, new supporter. We appreciate you calling in, man, and chatting it up with us, all right? Hopefully you can call back again.
I'll be back every week.
All right, awesome. Sounds good. Well, this is Wrestle Talking to D with Martez, Dominic, and Kayvon. Josh, have a good night, everybody.
Peace.